Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And, of course, we're not alone. We have the fabulous Abigail Burdus, or Abby.
Hello.
Hello.
It is I.
Hello. And so Abby is here. You're a writer, you're a comedian, actress, wearer of fabulous frocks,
Thank
and a mother
you.
Of two.
Thank you very much. I am wearing a fabulous frock right now. I'd like everybody who's listening to think that I'm wearing like a stretch velvet number, so the kind of garment that would win Garment of the Week
on
the Great British Sewing Bee. I'm not in any way wearing a horrible cardi and some leggings. That's not happening.
No, well, we're all in some kind of stretch fabric, whether it's intended to be stretched or not. It is being stretched. It is. That's nice English. Let's stick with the grammar rules for the rest of the podcast. So, first of all, I thought we should say alert, alert.
Alert!
Yeah. Alert!
I feel like we need a proper... What are we alerting people to? I don't know.
We are alerting that there are three comedians who are women. We all have vaginas and we're all talking on one show. I think Jeremy Clarkson's penis has just fallen off. I think that's it.
I do hope so.
Those three vaginas are now in quite close proximity to each other. We are huddled together in order to speak to you now.
Don't spoil the illusion, Abby, in the very expensive, exotic, glamorous recording studio.
That's it, on the DFS.
With our stretch of velvet.
That's right.
Yeah. Very nice.
In no way are we crowded around a single microphone on my home-based coffee table, which is covered with a monkey blanket.
No, for
the acoustics. No, that's definitely not what's happening.
No, it's tulle, it's chandeliers, it's professional, really.
Yes. You know, with the three of us, there is someone, in order to balance out this kind of femininity, yin-yang thing, somewhere out there will have to be a room with three male comics.
Oh,
wow. Together without a female.
That would never happen.
That would never happen.
So weird.
What, like in an open mic scenario?
Yeah.
The three men would be together.
Some sort of panel show which doesn't feature.
Yeah, exactly.
Insane.
Do you know what, though? We've already failed the Bechdel test. Is that the Bechdel test?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know about that?
Yeah.
Well, we've just had a conversation about men, so we f***ed it up.
Oh, bugger.
So,
edit that out, Ellie.
Yeah. Call ourselves feminists.
Oh. Yeah.
3 minutes in and it's cock, 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 that's us. Anyway.
Oh, we're breaking down barriers tonight. We're moving it forward. Because we are recording on the eve of International Women's Day.
Mm. International Women's Day Eve, as I believe is the official term.
That's it. So we're doing the Scandinavian, of course, celebration. They like to celebrate it night before.
That's right. They leave out a giant clog, don't they? And they wake up and it's filled with Tampax and contraceptive pills and just general women's things.
They knock on the door and go, "Hello, can I come in and give you some coal?" And then you have to accept them in. And then it's like a cake with rings on top of it. Shaped like a tit.
Yeah. And then the women of the house beat the men with their rolling pins.
That is what happens. In Scandinavia.
Yeah. And then they make penis gingerbread. and formed it into a house.
Is it like gingerbread made out of penises, or is it in just in the shape of? How does that work?
No, it is gingerbread that is in the shape of a penis, then made into a house that is burnt down.
Oh wow! Yeah. I'm learning so much.
Oh, I love this.
This is wonderful.
Yes, I feel we can learn a lot from Scandinavia.
Absolutely.
Imagine if any of this had actually been written beforehand. We might have.
I've actually written some actual jokes. It would be good.
Could have worked.
Anyway, pressing on.
I think every day is International Women's Day in Scandinavia, isn't it? I mean, I think they're a bit more, enlightened.
Yeah, don't they get, isn't it like they get paid to go on maternity leave and
stuff like crazy everything. Stuff.
Yeah, crazy, yeah. crazy stuff like that.
Equal rights and,
madness.
I either get £100 an hour for labour.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's what they get.
That's what I learned. It's a feminist paradise. Yeah. Did you not know?
No.
Yeah. And then they got your period, that's a tenner.
But they do have to assemble their own labour.
You just ring up the government. They send a little wad of notes. They are, love. Hope you feel better soon. Yeah. That's what they write. That's what the Prime Minister writes
in
by
Cockney.
Hand.
In
Cockney. I
say. It's already got a bit stupid.
Hope you feel better soon.
I
so want to get
country.
Out. This is my bad Norwegian accent.
It is definitely Norwegian. Bad. Yeah. No, it's very Norwegian. We do have a rule on the podcast. See, Helen, being Australian, is always trying to do racist accents. Because that in itself is not a racist statement, obviously.
No, thank you for that.
So we have a rule. What's the rule, Helen?
If it's white, it's all right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's so it's fine. Rule. So we can go...
Oh,
I'm always getting it wrong.
I am.
Classic. Classic, Helen. Anyway, so where are we? So, Abby, you are a comedy writer, and you've actually written some of the Scummy Mummy's favourite comedy sketches of all time.
Yay!
So there's the one with you and the baby, and you're with your husband, and you're, like, being really lovely to the baby.
Yeah.
And, oh, darling, oh, that's so nice, and going, where's the fucking baby wipes? When you I mean, I'm doing an impression of you doing your sketch, which is weird, but I'm like, just let you explain it. Maybe that would be better.
No, it's fine. I prefer your version.
to paraphrase.
I like it.
Oh. And the other one is that I particularly love is you and your comedy partner doing Jessie J and Katy Perry just sort of hanging out.
Yeah.
And I love that. Where did you get the idea for that?
Thanks. It was mainly because I wanted to make my comedy partner dress up as Jessie J. I thought that would be funny.
That is an excellent reason. Yeah. I'm going to write that down. That's an excellent reason to have an idea for a sketch.
Ellie's always putting me in wigs.
Yeah.
But not necessarily for comedy.
Yeah.
She just likes it.
Just warming her up. It'll be Merkins next.
Yeah, that's it.
She likes staying up. I like staying up late at night thinking of funny things to dress her up in. Stuff that would really embarrass her.
Yeah.
Upset her, emotionally scar her. That's it.
I was like, can I get her in a mesh vest? Yes, no, I could. Not quite. But I tried. I did my best.
You did get the very slick bob on her. That was very good.
She looked good, I thought.
Aside from the humiliation aspect, where do you get your inspiration for sketches and characters and that sort of thing?
Mostly sometimes I phone up my mum and I have Dragon Dictate on my phone.
Right.
And I just ask her a question and then record what she says.
And there you are, that's half an hour of gold. That's it. You're welcome.
I've done it.
You just then send the MP3 to the BBC and go, go on, get someone to type that out.
Type it up. I don't even bother typing it up.
Do you base them on, apart from your mother, obviously, do you tend to base your characters on real people?
No, I tend to, sometimes, but I also just tend to do a voice or a thing and then find myself carrying on doing the thing. And then finding it funny and then trying to recreate that in a cold, sterile environment somewhere later.
Where the magic really happens.
Exactly. Something like
Be
that.
Be funny now.
That sounds good, yeah. Again, I'm writing all this down. This is all a technique that we can learn from, I think.
That's it. And so have you got something you're writing at the moment or projects or... Things that you're doing.
Things that you'd like to plug.
Yeah, please do. Because
I just finished the first draft stage of a musical.
Lovely.
Writing. It's a ladies' musical.
Oh.
We are billing it as a feminist fairy tale.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so it's kind of it's a comedy. Well, mostly it's comedy, and then it goes a bit dark at the end. But then we go, don't worry, it's still funny again. And then it's fine.
So you've got an arc.
Yeah,
you've
there's
got a
lot.
Lovely, a lovely arc in your...
That's what we need for our show.
Yeah,
then.
You've got an arc.
Write that down.
Write that down.
I'm just going to draw an arc. Drawing an arc.
That'll remind you.
Yeah. No, good.
You'll be looking at it in the morning
happy,
going,
sad,
a
happy.
Rainbow? A rainbow? Why do we have to... Why do we have to put a rainbow in our show? I can't remember.
Are you doing the Katy Perry one? Oh, please do it. Please do it.
She's back in the room.
I love it. I love it.
I'd be writing a musical. It's for Edinburgh. So, yes.
So what's it called? Has it got a name?
It's called Fabulous Creatures. Mm-hmm. And it's about a girl.
Just a girl.
Who meets a boy, as you do, and she falls in love, as you do, and... Then she finds out she's a goat.
Oh wow. There's a twist.
That's the twist.
Yeah.
You've ruined it now.
Yeah.
You see it now.
But then, and then we do a whole kind of pause. Then, she's cursed, and she's told that you're a member of a cursed people who are goat folk. You are the goaten folk.
Oh.
You are goaten in your nature. And then she's like, and then we stop, and we go, has everyone got the metaphor yet? She gets the curse and becomes a domestic animal.
And she produces milk.
And produces milk and is like a girl. Oh. Yeah, so it's about... And then everyone goes, is this about women? Is this about the role of women in society? So it's kind of, it's kind of that.
Oh,
How many wigs are going to be involved in the production?
There are so many. In fact, we've got a Katy Perry number in it.
Oh, that's it. I've done.
We've got
everyone must see this show.
Take a firework in it.
Oh,
I love that
firework.
It's a seminal work, really, isn't it?
Yeah. What was it called? It's called I Found a Metaphor. I found a metaphor just lying on the ground, and so I picked it up and couldn't put it down. Massage that metaphor, and then I set it free to find out what it's for, be what it wants to be.
Yes, lucky listeners.
That was an exclusive. That was like a preview of your end.
It's not going to be to that tune though, because that's my crap tune. But they're going to actually write a real brilliant. But these guys can actually sing. It's not going to be me singing.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So you're the woman behind the women.
Yeah.
Being women.
I have women who can actually sing.
Wow. Yeah, that's the trick, isn't
that's
it? We don't bother with any of that for our show.
No, it's just all
we just
voice.
Get up. Let it all hang out, literally and figuratively, and it's all fine.
SNL wacky,
I shouldn't have had a glass and a half before we started.
This is just how it begins.
Fine. Yeah,
how it begins.
Okay.
If people want to check out your previous work, is it online anywhere? Can they go and?
They can go to my website,
which is.
I think there may be something there. I've got no idea. YouTube, Google me. I don't know.
We'll put it
on it. I Google myself all the time. Google me.
I'm trying to give you a platform to promote yourself.
That's it.
Okay.
And you're just like, oh, Google me. That's
I'm
nice.
Sure something will come up.
We'll put it on our website.
It'll probably be like a something horrible review now.
What's the name of your comedy double act that you're in?
Oh, yeah. I do a comedy double act with Cicely Giddings called Live at the Mausoleum. Mm-hmm. We just called our first show that, and then it kind of stuck, but it sounds so we do that, and we sometimes write together and we sometimes write apart. She's doing a really cool show at the moment. It's like a funny show. This is the one that I was telling you about that's at Soho Theatre conference where it's like a lesbian conference, and you kind of go and you get told that what sort of a lesbian you are and stuff. It's really funny.
Oh, I want to go really to funny. That show.
Yeah.
And is she going to take that to Edinburgh as well?
I don't know. I think they've probably already achieved what Edinburgh might achieve for them by being at the Soho Theatre. So
yes.
I think they're fine.
That sounds good.
So how do you find kind of writing solo compared with writing a double act, when obviously you find yourself very constrained by the other person? Often they're not as funny as you.
Yeah.
They're very irritating.
Both
their mannerisms and their style of working, and really just after a couple of weeks you just want to smash them in the face. How do you cope with that?
Over the last 10 years, I've found it pretty difficult. I mean, mainly it is the holding me back thing, which is the biggest.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you
the
just think,
holding.
God,
yeah.
No. I've had to, you know, I don't want to show off, but I've actually had to turn down Live at the Apollo to record this podcast
right,
tonight.
Right.
So yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It's a sacrifice
that Ellie makes, obviously.
The way Helen is just holding on to your left leg as we speak, just as you drag her around.
Biting my calf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deck to stay with me.
No, it's fun writing with someone else, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, we are. Well, I say we. I mean, I'm speaking for you. I love it. I do love it. Do you love it?
Yeah.
You have to say that now.
What do you love about each other the most?
Oh, gosh. What was it like?
The capacity for drinking.
What I love about Ellie is her honesty. What I love, I come to her like an enthusiastic puppy going, oh, I've got these ideas for comedy. And she's like, yeah, you know, that bit's good. Yeah, that's all right. And that's good. And I love that, but. Yeah. No, I like that. No, that's great. But no, it's good because you don't have to drink alone. That's that for me is where I win.
Yeah. Cicely's not even that enthusiastic. Cicely just looks at me and goes, And I'm like,
so are you with the hilly?
Is that good or bad? I don't know. We sort of switch, like,
yeah.
Which, it's quite a good. It's quite a good like Venn diagram of what we share.
Right.
Yeah. In terms of comedy, because we always characterize it as that we're both really paranoid.
Okay.
But I'm like paranoid about that people are trying to kill me. Like people on the other side of the world are trying to kill me.
Right.
And she's paranoid that people in the next room are saying something bad about her.
Okay. So you combine.
And so we combine those two paranoias.
Oh man, that's
into and but we're both right.
Yeah.
Like people are trying to kill us and they do hate us. it's like enjoyable. To hang out and share that knowledge.
I would say, if anything, Helen and I are not paranoid enough. Like, we just sort of walk around assuming everything's fine.
We're very optimistic at the moment, aren't we, Ellie?
we're
confident.
Yeah. The downside is that you end up, you know, signing yourself up to do, 3 days at the Brighton Fringe, and then, you know, you go, oh, now we've actually got to do it. Now we've actually got to write a show and try and make it funny. But
we've
that's all right.
It's going to be brilliant. It's going to be brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it'll be all right.
It isn't going to be brilliant.
That's the professional feedback we've been getting. But,
I've got no idea if it'll be brilliant. I've just met these guys. They seem funny, but who knows?
We can make an old trailer out of this.
Yeah.
This is brilliant.
That's it.
Perfect. No, I really like having someone there that I trust to go, look, is this funny? And then I like it when she laughs a lot. And I go, it's all right. And it gives me more confidence. Because when you do, like, because you do stand-up as well, so this. But when you do stand-up, like, and especially when you're trying out new material, you have to get on stage and you have no idea, really, if it's going to work or not. Or sometimes, like, I think it's funny. It's funny to me. But you get that out there and you're like, Whereas at least with the show, I know I can say I've tested it out on you a bit and you like it.
Yeah, that's it.
You're saying that she is basically a glorified audience member in your brain.
Well,
that's what you're saying.
That's it. Can I get paid in cheap wine and breadsticks? Or
I'm sure I fulfill a similar role. I'm under no illusions.
We're both quite needy. I think that's a thing. And then having someone to go, because husbands, frankly, useless. Because I go,
hopeless.
What about this? What about this joke? And I've envisaged actually performing it at the Apollo the night before, and then woken up going, oh, I've got this joke, and then we'll go, I think I've heard it before, or blah 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 blah. But then I'll go to Ellie, and she's like, that's brilliant. I'm like, yes, I love you.
Do you test jokes out on your husband, or do you just wait to the finish for his?
I do sometimes, but then he has a habit. He has a thing that he says that he does, because my husband is a comedian also, and so he has a thing because he won a BAFTA. So if I do a thing and then I'm like, this is funny, and then he's like, that's not funny, and I'm like, this is definitely f-ing funny. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
This is definitely funny. You don't know. You don't even do stand up. What do you know about stand up? And then he goes and gets his BAFTA and waves it in my face. He goes, who won a BAFTA? And that he really does that. And then I'm just like, okay. So you have to have, but it's good because it gives me some. I have to be quite confident and go,
yeah.
Oh, no,
man.
You are wrong on this. one. But also, you know, we have quite a similar sense of humour, so we usually know. But also, we do that thing that comics do when they're together. You must have done this when, like, we were probably doing it earlier.
Yeah.
Where comics get together and they don't really tell each other jokes. They kind of go, well, I did this thing. I did this joke that was about the thing where I transposed that thing to mean that thing. Yeah. And everyone goes, oh, yeah, I like what you did there.
Yeah, what a riotous night it is. Yeah. Everybody has a great time.
Yeah. You don't actually tell any jokes. You just kind of go, oh, that was, I did that joke. Oh, I like that joke. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. Oh. Just kind of a, anyway.
You're going to have to win a BAFTA. So, you're going to have to win two BAFTAs
and then I've got to beat him around the head and neck with them.
Both sides of the cheeks.
Either that or get his BAFTA, melt it down, turn it into an ashtray and just present it to him. That's what I do. There you are. Who's funny now? There you are. I've just saved your marriage. Yeah. You're welcome.
That was nice.
So you were a comedian and you were a writer and performer before you had kids.
Yeah.
We're on a mothering parenting podcast. So has anything changed since becoming a parent? Is there something you find funnier, or has your subject matter changed, or how you approach the comedy?
Well, I like to think that my writing has got a lot worse.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Because I like to write every script exhausted.
That really gets
crying and angry
writing.
Yeah. I think that's really good for comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leaking William Milk, I find really puts me in the mood for being hilarious.
Yeah.
Being hilarious and really on it. Yeah. yeah, so a bit of that. No, I think probably I might be honest there. I think actually I've probably been a bit more personal in the things that I've written. Because you kind of like becoming a parent is a bit like someone going, you're going to die. You're going to die. Remember that you're going to die. This is the next stage of life. So you got kind of go, okay.
This is it.
I've got to concentrate. Say the things you actually want to say.
Yeah.
And don't muck around too much. So I think things have got, I probably say stuff, I'm probably more honest than I used to be.
Mm.
Because you haven't got so much time to.
No, it's not just
getting old. It's kind of getting older, but it's also having kids, isn't it?
Yeah, there is a sense of urgency. And also, also this is it. Like, the next step is you're dead. If you don't do it now, if you don't say those things, it's gone.
Yeah.
That's what I sort of find.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. No, that's cheery, isn't it? There's the comedy.
What are you talking about? That is the root of all comedy. That's the root of all of it. It's to go, let's forget that we're just about to die.
Oh, God.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Having
an existential crisis. Nothing funnier.
Ellie's been thrown into existential crisis. That's what's happening.
I'm going to be sick.
We're just doing some CBT on it. That's fine.
Actually, I wrote a play when I was breastfeeding.
Oh.
And like a comedy play when I was breastfeeding. And that was a mistake. No. No, but like I wrote stuff that was much more personal.
Yeah.
Because you know when you're breastfeeding and then you're like, it was really
so exposed. Yeah.
It was so emotional.
Yeah.
And like everything was just like, hey, there's another beautiful thing that I want to say. You know. And so it was, it was quite an emotional thing. And also I had quite severe postnatal depression.
Okay.
What I like is that you sniggered as you just said. I had quite severe
I was like, it was the play, so it was really dark. It was like dark and sentimental and dark and sentimental. And then,
And then what? Everyone got covered in milk.
And then
maybe in a big musical number. Exactly. Jazz hands, sequins, champagne fountains.
A musical number.
Oh, that's
they
it.
Sang all the single ladies and they all danced.
Oh, see?
It was fine.
Genius.
Yeah.
Genius.
No, but it's weird because that was the thing I was saying about how people, they kind of believe what you tell them the show is.
Mm.
So then because there was like a picture on the poster of some people with pink sparkles and stuff.
Yeah.
They were like, it's not a depressing play about isolation and misery and death. It's like fun.
Yeah.
It's like a girl's night out.
Yeah.
It's not a woman crying alone in a log bathroom.
Which was good, financially speaking.
It's like Julie Cooper on stage.
Yay! Yes, anyway.
So you've talked a lot about breastfeeding so far and being a mum. And you're a mum of two girls. Are you conscious of being feminist or a role model in front of them? How's that kind of changed?
I definitely think having girls is, again, the thing you were saying about sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Around going, okay, this stuff, I need to get real about this stuff now, because they're growing up into it now. And yeah. I'm like, I need to change the world so it's not so terrible, so then it's not so awful for them.
Yeah. You're doing a Katy Perry voice again.
Oh, no!
I can imagine her saying that. I'm sure that's what she looks in the mirror and says every day.
I need to change the world so that those girls will know what it is to be truly loved.
But and a donut bra.
And a donut bra. And I'm going to do that by having a bra made of poppy. No. So I don't know. It's quite a weird thing. Having girls, you've got one.
I've got just one boy.
Mm. Well, we're not talking to you now.
No, I'm just going to get the other bottle. Don't worry, you carry on.
Yeah,
be fine. No, there are some urgent kind of issues about bringing them up that I'm really aware of.
I was going to say no. Whenever Matilda says something that says things like, oh, mummy, don't go to work, mummy, stay at home, daddy's go to work, that's when I get really kind of like, yeah. I need to work, I need to show her.
You need to send her out to work is what you need to do. You need to get her up that chimney.
Children go to work. Children make goods in factories.
Yes. That's the reality. That's the reality
of it. That is. Yeah, I feel having a girl, and she was my first, just felt I have to be the most fabulous woman I've ever been. Oh, like it's weird. Like
pressure, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's sort of like I want to make sure that I show that I'm strong and that I show her great values, but that I'm fun and funny and that I love my friends and that's what I value and all that sort of thing, which I don't think is anything different beforehand. But I've got an audience and I'm always on show, and I sort of feel like my relationship with my husband's always on show, and how's that, you know, impacting all that sort of thing on her, blah, 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 blah. But also the DVDs that I put her in front of while I f*** off and go on the internet. You know, those are responsibilities. Yeah.
I know. Did you see Frozen?
No, I haven't. No, tell us about Frozen.
That was one where I was sitting there going, this is the DVD I'm putting them in front of. Yeah. I hope it's not awful. So I take my feminist stuff very seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope it's not awful when I put them in front of And then, but it actually turned out to be really marvellous. I heard, like, the kind of message is don't marry the first man you meet, which is
a great message.
And now they sing all the songs. They're like two sisters and they sing all the songs together.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's kind of,
we like Brave. Did you see Brave? That was the other Disney.
Yeah, they're quite scared like that.
Charlie's not a big fan of that
because mummy becomes a bear.
Yeah, no, Matilda,
it is a bit weird.
She loved it. She's not really, she's also a Doctor Who fan, so she's not really,
yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. But she loves horses as well, so it had a horse thing. But
best of all the animals.
Yeah. Ain't it? but the whole thing about Brave was that she didn't have to marry the guy that her parents wanted her to marry, and that she had to follow her heart and choose the man she wanted, which was kind of like, oh, let's get married at the end kind of thing. So I'm quite pro-Brave as well.
I like Mulan. Have you seen that? Have you seen Mulan?
That is how you say it. If you were Native American, you couldn't have said that better.
Yeah, no.
Is that what it's about?
It's about Chinese people. Oh, that's...
I was guessing.
Just why not?
Chinese accent, if it's white, it's right. Chinese person. Come on.
Sequel, of course, is Moulin Rouge. I don't know if you've seen that either. It's very good. But that's gone as it. But Charlie's favourite film is Madagascar, which I sort of think, well, that's just animals, isn't it? But, like, there's only one female character out of the four main characters. But she's kind of...
She's sassy.
She's kind of sassy.
She's a hippo.
Yeah.
She's Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah.
You know.
So, weird having, discussing any of this. I mean, I don't discuss it with the kids, but, like, kids are, like, little fascists, aren't they? They want rules.
Yeah.
They want to know what the rules are. So then they're like, if they're saying, oh, mummies don't go out to work or whatever, that's just because they're like, they're trying to extrapolate the entire universe from a tiny vision of it.
Yeah.
And they're terrified all the time. So they're like, my kid was like, okay, I am in charge of a younger sister, and then you're in charge of me, and then daddy's in charge of you.
because he's bigger than you. And then I had to go, like, okay, so that's not... And we were both like, whoa! Yeah.
That's Hang on a minute.
But it's really hard to explain to a four-year-old and go, it's all a bit more complicated than that. So it's like, no, the rule is that after a certain age, everybody is in charge of themselves.
Yeah.
So I figure out, like,
And then
35.
After another certain age, then the mummy is in charge of the daddy.
That's how it goes. But, like, they need a rule, don't they? They need, like, a principle to stick to. So it's quite hard kind of defining those kind of...
So as mums of girls, how do you feel about, like, the whole pink issue, like the issue of girls having pink toys in the shops with the different, you know, we've got one head in the hands already.
I really think this will be the challenge that they face as they... I mean, I really think their generation... It is the incredible gendering of everything that will be... Because you can't say anymore, oh, you're not allowed to do that because you're a girl. So all of those messages will be given subtly and under the radar.
They'll interpret it anyway.
And it'll be harder to fight because it'll be... I don't know.
Yeah. Well, no, my daughter said, oh, but girls are pretty and boys are clever. And we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, and those words have never come
out
of either.
You're not pretty, Matilda. When will you learn that?
When will you learn you're not pretty or clever?
Yeah. No. To which my husband and I went, boys are stupid. What are you talking about? Which is obviously the worst thing you can say as well. That's not doing any gender any favour, but that's nothing. They're not the words that we have said. But obviously, that is how she's interpreted. Obviously, the Disney or the way the world has been presented to them. They're going.
They're getting messages the time. All the time, they're getting told what to value in themselves. Mm. And well, I don't know. We have a rule in my house. So this is where the rules. We have a rule in my house that we don't diss our bodies.
Yeah,
we're not
just each other's.
You have to go. You have terrible tits.
Do something about those eyebrows, honestly.
Do something. No, but so it's like, but it's quite a full-on thing to go, like, you know, you can't say anything, but you suddenly realise how many times you say it in a day, kind of going, oh, I've just. And my mum hates this rule because it's like her favourite hobby is Disney. she's like, why? You're so politically correct. Why can we not these days? We can't just, you know, say, like in my day, we used to have whatever, we'd give all the kids razor blades and we'd teach you self-hate.
That's
it. And that was the way we brought you up and you're all right, aren't you? And you're like, no. I'm not all right. No, it's not a good idea. If you do have that rule, the side effect is that you just, all you want to do when you're in anybody else's house is diss your body.
Like a bird.
Yes, like that. He's like, I'm so ugly, I got married, look at me.
Ooh, lucky friends. You must be wonderful at dinner parties.
I'm a lot of fun.
It's like, how are you, Abby? I'm awful. Look at how
I can roll about. I hate that. I've got that weird scrotal sac on the bottom of my stomach now. Has anyone else got a scrotal sac?
Yes, it's horrible.
Oh, you know,
there's some tiny folds. Tiny folds. Tiny folds.
Oh. Not good, you know, but it's really hard not to do
my elbow skin is in my tummy.
Exactly. Oh, dear.
Get it out, Abby, really.
Get it out, then I can go home to my children and go, you're beautiful. Everything about you is beautiful.
Oh. We're all happy. We love each other all the time.
Well, I have a small feminist victory to report. Okay. So I went to Centre Parks in June last year, and they've got a toy shop there. The toys were divided into just girls and just boys, like pink and blue. I wrote a feedback form saying, you know, I think this is disgusting and, you know, whatever. And I went back to Centre Parks last weekend and they have got rid of the just girls and just boys. So basically, I am the Emily Pankhurst from the modern age, is what I'm saying. I've metaphorically thrown myself under a racehorse.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Pink racehorse or a blue racehorse?
Wow. Well,
little pony.
It died, that's all we know.
It is weird though, isn't it, that like if you see 16-year-olds these days, they all have this kind of very gender, like they look like drag queens.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Heavy makeup. And then,
yeah,
they're all of the same.
Eyelashes. And it's like they're enacting femininity. It's like, you are a girl. You don't have to pretend to be a girl.
No.
Why? It's
with the girl paint on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The girl. Yeah.
They look like they should be called, like, you know.
And they,
like,
and the,
I own a sex toy. Or,
yeah.
You know, all those kind of stupid drag. They don't look.
They're like Monster High or whatever those, or Bratz. Or
yeah,
they've got that,
they've
kind
got
of,
that weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah,
and they're all clony because you see them and they're all wearing the same outfit but just slightly different. So they'll all be wearing the cut off denim shorts with the hunter boots and the blah 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 blah, and they just all look the same.
Whereas us, as 30 middle aged women, we look
different.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
In no way is one of us wearing a Breton top. The other two are wearing sort of saggy jersey fabric. We've got some leggings and some boots and some stripy socks. We really are expressing our individual style.
We're unique.
And in no way are we envious of women 20 years younger. It's nothing to do with it at all.
They wear all these cut off shorts.
I know.
What is that about?
I just snorted. I did that the other day, and my 2-year-old came up and said, "You sound like a pig."
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you.
So, do you find that being a comedian has that helped you? Because I guess your kids are growing up in a house with two comedians. Oh my god.
Jeez, it's in stereo.
That therapy is going to cost you
a fortune.
But do you find yourself like trying to sort of, you and your husband sort of trying to outdo each other with the funnies to make the kids laugh?
A bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Who wins?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I'm funnier.
Clearly,
But I'm also the mum, so I have to do all the work.
Serious face. Yeah. You have to do the serious face, yeah.
Yeah.
Put your shoes on. Yeah.
Although now I've kind of given that over to the nanny, so I can just muck around.
She's like the straight man. You're just like a double act with a straight
man. We're like, woohoo! No problem! No, but then,
is that your Norwegian again?
No. I don't know. I can do the voices. In books, that's exciting.
I'm a big fan. I love doing the voices, actually. I love doing all
so
the
I did
different...
get. We have got critics. They do just go, no, don't do the voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Julia Donaldson wouldn't want it that way,
yeah.
Mummy.
Don't do that voice.
No.
Do the other voice. It's like, okay. They're like really critical. They're also really funny. It's quite weird seeing them develop comedic skills, like in terms of their timing and all that. Like, it's weird because they look like little stand-ups.
Yeah,
and it's kind
do
of
they start
yeah,
the with
freaky.
Like
Charlie does have an act. The act does consist of him putting a waste paper bin on his head and just walking around going, "I am a robot. I am a robot." But it's hilarious, right? So, like, and he knows, man. He knows he's getting attention.
My kid does that, but then she lifts it up and goes, "It's only me."
That's
so I'm saying she's funnier.
She's more advanced. No, she's more advanced. You're right.
No, I think I think being comedian kind of helps with the joint parenting.
Mm.
In that, like, when everything else has gone, like the love,
the sex, joy,
the fun, the joy, and anything good in your life has gone.
Yeah.
At least you've got the jokes. And we're back to death again.
Yeah. Your funeral is going to be a riot. Yeah. I can't wait.
That bit's kind of good. But
yeah. I think, my kids are just kind of understanding, like, because I have to leave at sort of like 6 or 7 o'clock at night to do stand up. They go, "Are you doing your comedy tonight?" And then I say, Yeah. "Why don't you do this?" And they'll do like a honey face and like stick their tongue out. And they say, "You should do that. That would be good.
That would work. That would kill."
Yeah, that would kill. Yeah. Or they go, "Why did the tomato cross the road?" "Because it wanted to be going to Squishyland," or something like that.
Yeah.
And they feel like they're helping now.
I didn't know you do that. Did you do that in your act the other night? Yeah, are you stealing your children's jokes?
No.
Oh, you stormed it. Fair play. Smashed it.
That Squishyland thing. I know what you mean. That, like, I will be writing a script and I'll be like, if you've only spoken to children for like days, it is a bit... Farts are funny, aren't they? And you're like, I'll put more farts in. Surely I just
Ellie the other night put so many farts in my house.
It was uncanny. It was like, fart. It was bad.
I once farted in a feminist seminar.
Did you?
Yeah, in first year of university. It was in a seminar room, all wooden floors, ceiling, floor.
What was it, chairs. Like in a sauna?
No, yes, pretty much. But it was one of those oldie worldy lecture theatres, and we all sat around, and someone went, Yeah, I just want to talk about oppression. And I just let rip. And it was we were all in a circle facing each other, and I was just like, and then by the end of it, I was like curled over, like I was like shaking, and everyone else was laughing, but they had to continue this feminist seminar because it was first year, and we were all very. Serious about feminism. And then afterwards I had to just go into the toilet and cry because I thought I'd ruined it, but then someone came out, "It's just a fart."
I once farted on Radio 4.
Was it
loose ends or was it in our time?
It was recorded, so it was fine because they edited it out.
Oh, wow.
But I was heavily pregnant, and my character had to be, I was acting in a play, and my character was shot, and I did the like and as I did the, because I was heavily pregnant, I just did like a massive fart. And it was recorded, like it was, and they were looking at me in the booth, and they were like, "Okay, we're going to take that again."
We're going to take a trip down Scummery Lane.
Scummery Lane.
Scummery Lane. And go back to the...
Do you know, I can't think, we're a bit crap at theme tune.
This whole theme tune theme.
We normally make the guest that day, actually. We might maybe do the next one. All right, good.
Yeah, so we're going down Scummery Lane. Scummery Lane.
All right, now you can get too far.
Fine. You hate it when I go all beastly. It's a pastiche.
We all know who's Ringo.
Shut up. I did learn the cello for many years. I could play bass.
So did Ringo.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to go back in time because we're talking about comedy, we're talking about writing, motherhood. Anyway, I'm crapping on, but I was thinking about the mothers on telly that inspired us or we loved back in the day. And now in Australia we had a variety of television programs, but I like the US one.
By which you mean three?
Yeah. We had three channels on the telly, and we got the Cosbys, we got the Golden Girls, and we got Roseanne.
I know. Feminist role models are right go-go.
I know. And I remember we didn't have a VCR, so I used to get my audio tape recorder, and I'd tape the Golden Girls when I was about 8.
Oh.
And I'd play it back in my room to listen to Blanche, Rose,
Others. Hours and hours of sexual innuendo. That must have been
that's
wonderful.
That was it. That's what I used to do. I love these old women, like, going, rah, rah, and this is what I've become.
Yeah, yeah. The one with the Norwegian, another
opportunity. Oh, here we go.
Didn't they have, like, the Norwegian,
yeah.
Was that the Blanche one? And then there was the one who had the incredibly deep voice.
Dorothy.
Hello, I'm Dorothy.
Oh, Mother, stop talking like that.
She had that voice. She was cool.
And then there was awesome. The dirty mother who was like the size of a raisin. She had been so sun bleached in Florida that she whittled herself. Yeah. She'd sun dried herself into a small small
fruit. You can eat Pringles. It's all part of the ambiance.
Just play it on there.
That one.
I like that.
No, and the crunch. Oh.
I have to say,
it's a fresh pack.
Speaking of, you know, where you're from and that.
Yeah.
One of my role models, I have to say, was Susan Kennedy from Neighbours.
Oh, really?
She's so calm, Susan. She's yeah. like, you feel like if there was a nuclear holocaust. Yeah. Dr. Kennedy probably, yeah, she probably gets his prescription pad.
That's it.
But do you remember the Kennedy family meetings?
Yeah, yeah,
when they had
yeah.
a problem, they would have a Kennedy family meeting. They would sit down and they would sort it all out and they would go, you know.
She's still chucking on, though, I think, Susan.
You know,
she's...
there's been an assassination in the family, but we'll get over it.
It's all right, we'll just get someone who looks sort of like the previous member of the family to step in.
Yeah, I wish you could do that in life.
I know, just get a ring in.
That'd be great. Yeah. And we just recast.
Yeah,
I could Grandpa. Just recast my husband. When he annoyed me, I could go, you're a bit fat now, you're getting recast.
Yeah, that's it. Come back get in. Out. Mm. Yeah. Sorry, so, Abby, did you have a heroin mum when you were on the...
That yes. was so nicely phrased.
Yes,
Ellie.
My mum was a heroin mum. Do you know, I was nearly a heroin mum. I was on dihydrocodeine when I was pregnant.
Yeah, I had some of that. It's good stuff. Well, yeah,
it's
yeah.
great stuff. But they warned me. They went, you know, you're not allowed. You don't take this. Now you're taking this when you're pregnant.
Mm.
And you mustn't take it close to the birth. Because then you're going to have a heroin baby.
You're going
to
have a smack baby.
You're going to have a smack baby.
Oh, man.
So I had to stop taking the dihydrocodine.
They gave me it after the birth.
That's some good stuff. Like, that's some good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got some in my bathroom, actually. Perhaps after the podcast's over, we can all have a little party.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I had it. They gave it to me after I gave birth for the stitches and that. Ooh. But they said, they said it was fine with breastfeeding. Maybe... Or maybe I dreamt that in my dihydrocodone state. I don't know.
They said take more.
They said it was fine.
Yeah.
Who was it who said it was fine? It was Sally Field. She was wearing a big hat. She said it was fine. She had a green coat and a big hat. She said she loved me and not to worry. Because everything was going to be okay.
Now you say that, I do remember it being there. Yeah. Bumped into her at the breastfeeding clinic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'll rephrase that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
the wine's kicking in now, and the dihydrocodone.
Okay.
So yeah, who was your favourite TV mum? Let's just say that.
I did. I liked Roseanne a lot. Mm. I didn't really watch TV because I went to a boarding school. So.
Right. Oh, I see. And what?
So like, if you, yeah, my own mother was in a lady in a picture. Anyway.
And through a payphone so with get, toys.
Exactly.
Going,
Mum, are you
another
there?
20p.
Mummy, I love you, Mummy. Come and take me away. Oh, no.
I can't afford your comfort. Sorry.
I can't afford your comfort because you didn't give me any money to afford your comfort. Yeah. That stuff like that. So.
I was thinking of something like Linda Bellingham from The Octopus. Oh. But yeah, it's fine.
Or Birds of a Feather. Yeah. I like Birds of a Feather.
Oh, dear, I can't bear it.
Really? I loved it.
Anyone?
Well, I do. Yeah.
I love the theme tune. It's
far away.
With those little pictures.
Yeah. I know. I feel blue. I do.
Yeah.
Well,
we will be releasing an album later in the year of our greatest hits.
Tommy Mummy sings Telly. Yeah.
I mean, any mum on telly would have been better than mine. So. Anybody, really.
Did you get the Bradys here? Did you get the Brady Bunch?
I know what it is, but I don't think I've ever watched it. Yeah.
No, I always loved her.
We got Happy Days, Mrs. Cunningham.
Bowl of Raisins. Bowl of Raisins.
I don't remember that. Was that her catchphrase? Yeah. Was that yours? Like,
I don't know. This is my parenting, really.
Yeah, well, at least it's a fruit.
She said, oh, Richie, you always... I can't do accents.
Richie.
Shut up.
I'm under
pressure. When's your friend the fans coming round, Ratchy?
oh, shut up, shut up. I'm born on the same day as Henry Winkler.
Wow.
Me and the Fonz, same day.
I love the Fonz.
And Paul from Neighbours. Can you see?
Paul Robinson?
Yes.
Paul Robinson. Do you mean the same date? Like the same, the same actual date.
Yeah,
so so you weren't born in the same year?
No. So me, the Fonz, and Paul from Neighbours all share the same birthday.
Stefan Dennis. Not the fictional character
Henry
Paul Robinson.
Henry Winkler and Helen Thorne all born on the same day. That's uncanny.
I think, well, thanks very much for listening to this episode of the podcast. I don't think we can top that for interesting facts. So we're just going to end it there.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I think that's probably enough Scummery Lane. So it's time now for a fun new game. Abby, would you like to introduce this one as our special guest?
Helen has warmed up the recorder.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now we're going to play, is this feminist recorder? Miley or Kylie.
Now, because I've been inspired by Abby, she's writing a feminist musical, and she did an extraordinary performance of Katy Perry. I thought that because so much music today is sold through bikinis and scantily clad women, that I thought the music should just talk. There's been a lot of thought gone into this, obviously. A lot of YouTube watching, and I'm going to play either Kylie or Miley, and I want the music to talk to you, Abby, and see if you can guess what I'm playing through.
Kylie or Miley.
I'm very excited.
It's all over.
I know it.
It's Kylie.
Is it
Put Your Hands on Your Heart and
Yes,
Tell
it
me.
Is!
For a bonus point, is that the video where it's like black and white, but it's like the 40s and she's like in a dress?
No, that's it. She just said Papa Kwan. Should I move on? Yes, what's another one?
I know that one. That's the only one I would possibly know.
Come on.
What's it?
It's Sonata in G. I should be so lucky.
Yay! Because I wanted to choose a song in which she was actually wearing clothes.
Kylie.
Yeah.
Although she's not there. She's in the bath, isn't she?
She's covered in bubbles.
Yeah, but they're not clothes.
I know.
Bubbles are clothes.
Yeah.
I like that. Bubbles are clothes. Sally Field said to me, go forth and bubbles are clothes from now on. Bubbles are clothes. A bra made of bubbles. No problem.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh no, I've got to remember it now.
EastEnders theme tune.
No, it's Miley.
It's
a 50-50 thing, really.
Yeah, so you've got to do a one Miley.
Yeah.
What is the Miley? Can you sing it for us, maybe?
Wrecking Ball.
Oh, right. I've seen the video. Do you know, while I was watching the video, I wasn't really concentrating.
No. Funny
what
that.
The music was.
Yeah.
I don't know if she did that deliberately.
Can I do, I'm going to do one.
Wipe it down.
Like, well, that's what you do.
Are you guys just like free styling?
That's right. We're very, very musical. We're naturally musical. We're like the Vanessa May. We're going to do some tobogganing later if you want to come. It's going to be good. Right, ready?
Achy breaky heart.
Very nice.
It was like a trick question. It was like a rogue Cyrus.
Very good.
It was when I changed key, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a giveaway. Thanks, Abby.
You're welcome.
Equal pay for women.
Yeah. Maybe you get to hear loads of recorded playing.
Yes, that's right. Over the internet.
Yes.
Basically, we're like the British Pussy Riot. That's what we're saying.
With recorders.
I've very much enjoyed Miley or Kylie. Thank you, Helen.
Do tune in next week
for our new game, Katy Perry or Luke Perry, where we have to... I don't know. I haven't even really thought it through. It's just that's what I'm calling it.
Is it that you hear them on a cello?
Oh,
that's good.
I played the cello for many years, so I could either So you're going to impersonate
Luke Perry playing the cello.
Yeah, that's so meta.
That's great, though, if they neither of them say anything.
So no, you just have to tell just from a pack the, way cannon.
The way they play the cello.
That's it.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
I know. Okay.
Now we're going to play another game before we go, aren't we? You're full of games this week, Helen. I love it.
I was firing.
Firing on all the cylinders.
Exactly.
Some you didn't even know you had.
Because we've had many requests from our listeners for the handbag surprise. Handbag surprise. But we have done that today. So I thought we could do a twist. A twist on the classic from previous episodes, and backseat surprise, or how gross is your car?
Is your car? How gross is your car? I really need to know.
'Cause we're living in a car of filth.
Boom.
Making it gross.
Boom.
And we all want to get better.
Out.
I can't go on from this.
Basically, it's a bin on wheels. Do, 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 do. So my confession is that when I went to pick you up at Ellen's house, I quickly, there were some old Pepsi cans and stuff, and I threw them in the back of the car, knowing that you would get in the front seat and Helen would be polite in the back.
Really.
But also knowing that Helen has seen my car in, like, just the worst states ever, so she wouldn't mind. So I'm telling you now, that car was even filthier than you saw today.
Oh,
so
wow.
There you go.
So I got the talent got the clean bit.
Good.
Yeah. Nice. I've said to Ellie and Abby, bring along a secret surprise about how gross your car is. Have you done that, Ellie?
Oh, I know what it is. I've left it in the car.
Oh, right. Okay.
It was going to be McDonald's ketchup and barbecue sauce left over from our trip.
Oh, that's nice.
To McDonald's, which is still sitting there.
Have you bought something?
Go on, confess.
I just thought I'd bring a selection what's found in the. So you've got some breadcrumbs, which could be from anything really, from a breadstick. Some dehydrated clementine skin.
Oh, nice.
Which we all have in our bag.
Yes.
And a pasta necklace, some sticks, oversized raisin, a balloon, some string.
Lovely.
This is a haul, look at this.
Look, a bit of Haribo.
You should have that as the next party bag.
That's gross. I would say
that is pretty gross. I love
CSI,
that you haven't even. I don't want to touch
South
it anymore.
London. No, there we are.
This is what I brought.
Oh, look at
very
this.
Nice. That's,
now, this is. Would you like to describe it?
Go, Abby.
I don't know if you. Yeah, it's. It is a bottle, a child's drinking bottle with Smurfette on it.
Oh, very nice.
I'm going to open the top if I'm going to give
it
a sip.
Has it had milk in it?
It has.
Oh!
It's. Now that is a dishwasher smell.
That is a washing up.
That's a dishwasher smell, but it's not the smell of the reason I brought this in.
Right.
Okay.
Because this is the bottle that I pissed in.
Oh! I'm so glad I sniffed it.
Sorry, should I say weed?
It's too late now.
No.
Nothing about this can get any better.
Okay, so I had to have a wee in the bottle because I became desperate. I had to have a wee in something, and the only thing I could find was a child's drinking bottle.
Wow.
So I had to wee on Smurfette's face.
which is a lot of men's fantasy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the first time that's happened to her.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
Can I say
that's genuinely true, you have kept it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but I like obviously I disinfected it.
You've kept it.
Has your child drunk out of that bottle since you weed in it? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, of course my child has. It's been disinfected. That is not scientific to like go, oh no, I've weed in this once. Anyway, it's sterile.
You're a better woman than me, really. You are. I've thrown out things for less. Really, I have.
You guys think I'm scummy. You're scummy.
Not at all.
No, this is not a judging area.
We haven't got to my scummy mummy confession yet.
Thank you very much for sharing that. It looks to me like it could only hold. I reckon that could only hold about 300ml.
Yeah.
Now,
I was so amazingly accurate. I remember that. And my husband, who was driving the car, did not even realise it was happening.
And stealth wing.
At the end, I got the lid on. I got nothing anywhere. And then at the end, he was like, what is that? Why are you? And I was like, it's fine. It's no problem.
Just some squash.
I'm just going to get rid of that. No
squash.
Would you like some of this lemon drink?
Very warm.
But,
wow.
Yeah, but because I needed a wee. It was like a half hour journey, but I still needed a wee.
Yeah. Matilda has...
What I'm saying is, look at how narrow this neck is. Look at how narrow the neck of that bottle is.
That's a woman who's that been through requires, two pregnancies.
That requires accuracy.
That's commitment. That is commitment.
Because I was never good... When they gave you the vial, when you had to do the little dip test for pregnancy... I always got a lot of splash.
It's very hard.
It is very hard.
It's very hard to be accurate, but that's not something that's valued in it. What I'm saying is, as a feminist,
that's not something that's valued. You owned it.
It's not valued in a woman.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us get rewarded for how accurately we can against a wall?
It should be an Olympic sport. Absolutely. There should be something.
I'm talking about lactating. Like, you never see that, like a lactating contest.
You do never see that. I wonder why.
I have spontaneously done that at a Starbucks, but no one cared.
Sometimes people
breaking barriers. I was proving something, but then no one cared that
I didn't want a latte.
Yeah.
Oh, a spontaneous macchiato. Yeah.
We've all had one of those.
So we've come to that section of the show, which is the Scummy Mummies Confessions, everyone's favourite section. And we've been blessed, actually, this week by our listeners who've been very honest.
They have. Very honest and very good.
So we're going to read out one of our favourite ones of the week, which comes from Kate in New Zealand. And I'll paraphrase this. Basically, she was staying with her parents-in-law and she had the baby monitor in the baby's room and the listening device in the lounge. Because you don't say lounge room, do you? You just say lounge.
Just lounge, yeah. That's fine, yeah.
Okay, so her and her husband put the babies to sleep, were chatting in the lounge, then went back to the bedroom, forgot to turn the baby monitor off, and then had the sexy time, and the parents-in-law were still in the lounge. So they did the...
No.
And then the next morning... Nothing was said, but it was all a bit...
That's almost upsetting.
Because having sex is a rare thing. And Kate has said she has three children, so that must be a very precious thing.
The nookie-noo, the in and out.
Do you think that the way that you describe it explains why you don't have it that often?
Yeah. No, that's it.
Does Will come in and you're like, how about the old nookie-noo?
How about a little bit of the old womb service?
And I go, oh, no.
Cervix, please.
Is that how you say it?
No. It just usually happens in the night. There's a bit of fumbling and then there we are.
Well, that's better. That's a whole shed load better.
At least there's fumbling. Some of us dream of fumbling.
When Sally Field comes across and goes, in the future there will be fumbling again. Don't worry. Somebody will come and fiddle with you. I've got a beautiful hat. It's
going to
be good.
Yeah.
So my Scummy Mummy confession is that this week I met up with Steve Hill, regular podcast guest. He's a stay-at-home dad and he has a little boy, George, who's the same age as Charlie. And then we went to Clapham Common and we took them on the playground. Now, we might have had a bit of lager with lunch, possibly also while kicking the football around on the common. So it was all very nice, quite a nice day, all very lovely. And then I really needed a wee. So you can relate to this, Abby, So really, 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 really need a wee. And there's no loos, on Clapham Common, on the bit. So I went back out to the common and I said to Steve, I need to go to the toilet. And Steve was like, I want no part of this. I don't want this. We don't have that kind of friendship. I don't want to know. I had no option.
Where'd you go?
I just went behind a tree. But it's a tree in the middle of a common. So it was 360.
There's a road going right past the tree.
Exactly. And I just had to do it. And Steve was all like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. I'm going to walk over here with the boys. And then when I poked my head out from around the tree, he was trying to take a picture of me.
Oh, Stephen Hill.
Steve is an upskirter.
like he was like 50 metres away and it was like face. He was it wasn't like that.
Steve is an upskirter.
It wasn't like that.
The small boy that is mine, Hugo, he did a poo in the bath the other day. I thought, I need to scoop this up and usually I just use my hand, but I thought, look, really, I need to advance this. And the most scoop-like item in my bathroom was a dump truck. And I thought, there's the irony. It's a truck for dump. And I scooped up the dump and tipped it into the loo and then just popped the truck back in the bath.
Yeah.
It's a short, sweet one this week. Sweet, maybe not. But I kind of saw the humour in that.
So, Abby, do you have anything you'd like to share? Or are you going to leave it with the Smurfette
wee face? Yeah. On Smurfette's face?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty... Nice.
I was mainly thinking that I could use this. I was mainly thinking that I could use the confession to like slag off my mum. She like turns up and goes, I've got a lovely present for the kids. I've collected them and it's like a plastic bag full of corks.
Thank you. Lovely.
That's great. Oh, well, that's learning about floating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although Helen's already had that lesson this week. But yeah.
It's great. It's great that she's bothered to collect all these corks that could choke my children.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
that's fine. I once left her with a small baby, but she walked up the road and then she came. It was like 10 minutes and she came back and I went, What is in that my baby's hand there? What is that? What has she got there? And my mom was like, it's just some nail clippers.
It's my nail... Nothing could go wrong.
It's my nail clippers that I've opened out so that she can just cut off her finger if she wants to.
Just lick the blade.
Just lick the blade. And they're not like normal nail clippers. They're special butterfly nail clippers. They look attractive for a baby.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, that was... But that's basically slagging off my mum rather than confessing to my own awfulness, which is I am awful daily.
Yeah.
Well, so
that's
it's,
yeah,
that's it.
That's
you are
right.
Our people.
We're scummy mummies.
And I definitely forgive even the corks.
Right, so very nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably because you know, like she's of a different generation.
Exactly.
So she's with the scissors.
She's going. In those days, all I gave you was a bunch of corks and some razor blades,
and you were
made
happy.
Your own fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Come on, guys.
We didn't have fireworks in them days,
no,
you know.
We didn't have frozen.
We made them with TNT or whatever it is.
With old bombs from the war. Ooh. We were grateful. Yeah.
Bless her.
Oh, we are. Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, everyone who sent in a Scummy Mummy confession. And please do keep sending them in. You can send them in to scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com. You can send them in the Facebook page, facebook.com/scummymummiespodcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on the Twitter @scummymummies. And of course, you can come and see the Scummy Mummy stage show. We're doing the Brighton Fringe.
Yay!
Very exciting.
Tickets are available now. We can come on the 10th, 11th, and 26th of May.
Yes.
And upstairs at 3 and 10 in Brighton.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Abby, for coming on the podcast. You've been a wonderful guest.
And we've so enjoyed having you.
And especially your Norwegian accent. Can we have one more little...
Good night.
Thanks everyone for listening. Keep emailing us, keep getting in touch. Feel free to give us a 5-star review on iTunes or in The Guardian. We love you. Thank you very much. Good night.
Goodbye.
Bye.
So do you think being a comedian do you think Libby Purvis has to put up with this? Just let
Jane
me ask
Garvey.
A serious question. Jane Garvey. Jane Garvey would have walked out by now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Got on the first train back to London. No one wants. She doesn't want to live in Salford anyway. Yeah. No one does.
No one
she's
does.
Done a Tracy Emin. What the fuck are you? Fuck off. I'm not sitting here being fucking insulted by the likes of you
Every end podcast ends like that. Yeah. Clearly, this is what
Sorry, I'm
doors.
Not.
Don't,
she does.
No,
she
we're going out. Doors. I know, that's been cut. That's fine.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.